Greetings, friends. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. On the Day of Atonement, one of God's expectations is that we fast. As I've proven in a previous program, fasting demonstrates the love of God. It's also true that the year of Jubilee demonstrates the love of God. Exactly how does the year of Jubilee demonstrate the love of God? Another question. Did you know that the year of Jubilee starts on the Day of Atonement? Let's read about that in Leviticus chapter 25 and verses 8 through 10. This is Leviticus 25 and verses 8 through 10. And again, the question that's on the table is exactly how does the year of Jubilee demonstrate the love of God? And I bet that a lot of you didn't know that the year of Jubilee actually starts on the Day of Atonement. And there's a reason why the year of Jubilee starts on the Day of Atonement. So again, in Leviticus 25, verses 8 through 10, it says, "Count seven Sabbaths of years." Now, what does this phrase mean, seven Sabbaths of years? Well, there are 7 days in a week, with the seventh day being the Sabbath. All right? There are 7 days in a week, and the seventh day of that week is the Sabbath. So if God says count seven Sabbaths of years, God is actually saying count seven Sabbaths or 7 weeks. So if you're counting 7 weeks, there are 49 days in 7 weeks. So 7 times 7 is 49. Going back to the scripture, God says count 7 Sabbaths of years, 7 times 7 years. So you have 49 years, 1 year for each day. Again, I'll repeat that. There are 7 days in a week, with the seventh day being the Sabbath. If you count 7 Sabbaths, that means you're counting 7 weeks. 7 weeks is 49 days. So if you take 49 days and you assign 1 year to each of those days, you have 49 years. And this is exactly what God is saying in this verse. Count 7 Sabbaths of years, 7 times 7 years, so you come out to 49 years. And the space of 7 Sabbaths of years shall be equal to 49 years. The Bible explains itself. Continuing. Then you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound when? On the 10th day of the 7th month, in the Day of Atonement. That's when you shall make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. So that proves that the year of Jubilee starts on the Day of Atonement. Continuing in the scripture, and you shall hallow the 50th year. Hallow means to keep holy that which God has made holy, to respect that. And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. And so what God is saying is, you count 49 years, and then after the 49th year, when the 50th year starts, that begins the start of Jubilee. That's the year of Jubilee. Going back to the scripture again, it says, "It shall be a Jubilee to you, and you shall return every man to his possession." What does this mean? It means debt relief. This is the ultimate debt relief on a physical level. An example of this would be if a person had his or her land taken away because they owed another person a debt and they had to insure it by giving that person their property, then during this year of Jubilee, that person's property was given back to them. All debt was canceled, and that property would be given back to the person. That's why God is saying that this is a time to proclaim liberty throughout all the land. And this obviously is a time of Jubilee, a time of great rejoicing when people's debts are canceled. And this is very similar to what we have in chapter 7 for bankruptcy. When you go into chapter 7, bankruptcy, all of the debt is relieved. And this was a similar type thing that God instituted during the year of Jubilee. And it also continues in the scripture to say, and you shall return every man unto his family. This is the Emancipation Proclamation. This is actually people who had to sell themselves into slavery to pay off a debt. And now they could be released from their slavery. So I could see people singing that song. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. God is the ultimate abolitionist. God loves you and wants you to be free. And this confirms what I said. The year of Jubilee demonstrates the love of God. And the year of Jubilee starts on the Day of Atonement. And the Day of Atonement is a day on which we fast. So let's put these three threads together to see a theme. And the three threads, again, are that the year of Jubilee demonstrates the love of God. The year of Jubilee starts on the Day of Atonement. And the Day of Atonement is a day on which we fast. Let me ask you this question. Is it possible that Jesus started his public ministry, which was a ministry of love, near the Day of Atonement during the year of Jubilee? That's those three threads put together for a theme. Jesus' public ministry, which is a ministry of love, most likely started near the Day of Atonement during a year of Jubilee. Well, how can I come to that conclusion? All right, here it is. Let's first review Yeshua's first recorded public message. And keep in mind that his first recorded public message was given very soon after he completed his 40 days of fasting. Please turn to Luke chapter 4, and we'll read verses 16 through 19. This is in Luke chapter 4, and verses 16 through 19. What I want you to notice as we read this is the Jubilee language, the language about freedom, about liberty, about every man being returned to his possession and every man being returned to his family. In Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 19, it says that Jesus came to Nazareth. Again, this was after his 40 days of fasting and his duel with Satan in the wilderness. Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He has anointed me to preach deliverance to the captives. He has anointed me to recover the sight to the blind. He has anointed me to set at liberty them that are bruised. This is the time when I will preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Did you catch that part? The acceptable year of the Lord. What is an acceptable year of the Lord? Well, one of them is obviously the year of Jubilee. And isn't this a Jubilee message? It definitely is a Jubilee message. My next question, when was this message delivered? What time of the year was it? We can find proof of that in the book of Luke, the first chapter. I'm not going to read it, but I will say this. The Day of Atonement is in the seventh month of the year. Jesus was born in the seventh month of the year. That's right, Jesus was not born in December, on December 25th. That's a pagan holiday that's really in honor of the winter solstice, the returning of the sun, not the Son of God, but the Son of God, but the sun in the sky. That's what that's about. It's a pagan festival. It has nothing to do with the birth of Jesus Christ. People have tried to make it that, but it's not that. Jesus was actually born in the seventh month of the year. How do we know that? Well, because he was born 6 months after his cousin John the Baptist was born. And John the Baptist was born in the first month of the year. So if John the Baptist was born in the first month of the year, then 6 months later would be the seventh month of the year when Emmanuel, God with us, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, that's when he would have been born. And also we know that John was born in the first month because he was born during the course of the priest Abiah. Again, this is all in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 1. He was born during the course of the priest Abiah. And if you study that, the priest Abiah would be doing his priestly duties in the first month of the year. Now keep in mind that Jesus was born in the seventh month of the year. Jesus' public ministry began when he was 30 years old. So if you count 30 years from when he was born, it brings you to when he's 30 years old, which would be in the seventh month of his 30th year. So this would put the time in the seventh month, clearly. His public ministry then ended, now catch this, his public ministry ended 3.5 years later when he was crucified on Passover day. Now which month is the Passover in? The Passover is in the first month of the year, according to God's calendar. Of course, all of this is talking about God's calendar. And this is simple math here. It's not complicated. So follow me. If Jesus Christ was born in the seventh month of the year, and 30 years later started his public ministry, which would have been in the seventh month of the year, then 3.5 years later, in other words, 3 years and 6 months later, would put Jesus Christ's crucifixion in, of course, the first month of the year. How do we calculate that? Easy. You got the seventh month of the year. You go 5 months. That brings you to the 12th month, or the last month of the year. Then the next month would be 6 months, and that next month is obviously the first month of the new year. So again, if Jesus Christ had his public ministry started in the seventh month of his 30th year, and it lasted for 3.5 years, that means that his public ministry would have ended when he was 33.5 years in the first month of a year, and that first month, of course, is the month that contains the Passover day, and Jesus Christ, without a shadow of a doubt, was crucified on Passover day, as it says in plenty of scriptures. So again, we have it proven that Jesus was born in the seventh month of the year, and he would have started his public ministry in the seventh month of the year. So the timing of this Jubilee message definitely would have been in the seventh month of the year. That's when the Day of Atonement occurs, is in the seventh month of the year. And of course, the year of Jubilee starts on the Day of Atonement. So we have those three threads put together. The message of love that was given on the Day of Atonement, and most likely in a Jubilee year. So what does this mean, putting those three threads together? Well, I believe that when Yeshua HaMashiach returns to earth, i.e. at his second coming, his second public ministry will begin on the Day of Atonement in a year of Jubilee, just like his first public ministry and sermon started, most likely, on the Day of Atonement in a Jubilee year. As I've said numerous times in the past, you can understand prophecy when you understand God's seven annual holy days. Jesus was crucified on Passover. Christ was resurrected and accepted by the Father during the days of unleavened bread. Adonai sent the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Those are all things in the past. Now we're talking about the future. The Feast of Trumpets foreshadows the triumphant return of the King with his resurrected saints when the seventh trumpet is sounded, and the Day of Atonement, in part, foreshadows freedom from enslavement to Satan. God is the ultimate abolitionist. Again, we'll all sing this song. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.